Hallo, het is Adrien Dumont-Chassard en u luistert naar de Golfcultuur Podcast.
Deze podcast wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Pinhai Golf Travel. Meer dan een golfvakantie.
Welcome to a special episode of the Golfcultuur Podcast. You may wonder why I'm speaking English when I usually speak Dutch. Don't worry, this is not a permanent shift. We're just very excited to bring you an episode we've mentioned multiple times on the podcast and we've long anticipated. We are thrilled to present an interview with one of our favorite Belgian golfers, Adrien Dumont-Chassard, also known as ADDC. Dumont-Chassard turned pro in 2023 and made an impressive debut by winning on the Korn Ferry Tour, where he was named Rookie of the Year for the 2023 season. In 2024, he played a full year on the PGA Tour. Lara and I spoke with Adrien just before one of his practice rounds in Florida, discussing his time in college, a challenging year on the PGA Tour, and his journey to regain full status. Enjoy. Adrien, thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast. You're dialing in from Jacksonville, Florida, I believe. A great place for golf, I would say. Is that where you live full time now, or do you split your time between Florida and Belgium?
Well, that's where I live. I wish I could spend a little more time in Belgium, but with most of my tournaments being close to the United States or in the United States, it's more convenient to live here.
So originally in Belgium, you're from Villers-la-Ville. Where did you start playing and how did that go?
Yes, I started golf when I was around 6 years old. So I live really close to La Bruyère Golf Club. Mm-hmm. So I played there from age six till, I'd say, I mean, even age, 18 before I went to the States. But then I transitioned to Royal Waterloo Golf Club when I was age 14.
Cool. Okay.
Let's talk about your, when we first really got to know you, I think that was around the time when you played PGA Tour University. You're part of the class of 2023. You finished third that year. You got full status on the Korn Ferry because of that. Ludwig Ober is from the same class. He finished first and went straight to the PGA Tour. And we were wondering, were you guys close back then? Are you still in touch nowadays?
I mean, I wouldn't say we were very close back then. I mean, we knew each other just from playing a couple of rounds. He went to Texas Tech, so we didn't get to compete much with them in college. And then, I saw him a little bit once we turned pro, especially when I went back to Europe to play two events on the DP World Tour. But funny story, Ludwig also moved to Jacksonville, Florida a couple months ago. So I'll get to see him a little more and try to play some games on the course with him. It's always nice to have someone who's top five in the world, not too far from where you live.
Right, and then maybe a follow-up question there after just talk about the Korn Ferry. So you went to the Korn Ferry, you won the opening event, you came in second the week after. You had a fantastic year, and the golf world was even mentioning your name as a Ryder Cup pick. And then you go to the PGA Tour the year after, and you have a tough year. So we were wondering, did you expect it to go easy to yourself? Because to be honest, we thought it would have been smooth sailing. So how did you experience that?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a really good year once I turned pro. I didn't have many expectations. And, I just showed up to my first tournament and was able to just play my game and put myself in contention, which led to a victory. It's not always the case. So especially, at a high level, I feel like when you have a chance to win, you kind of want to take it because you never know when's going to be the next time, right? But then, then going to the PGA Tour was a change. I also had to make a few changes with my swing coach, Jerome. And those mm-hmm. were a little hard as I started on the PGA Tour because I get in a new environment playing against the best players in the world. And on top of that, I got to try to make the little swing thoughts comfortable so I can go out and compete and play the game that I want to play. So those were needed change. But those made it a little harder to transition from the Korn Ferry to the PGA Tour.
But why was it needed? Because how can you explain to our listeners if you're playing so well, you were so good on the Korn Ferry, then why was it necessary to make swing changes?
It wasn't really a swing change. I mean, it was more so a grip change. which mm-hmm. leads into a swing change, right? So I hurt my wrist at the end of 2023 playing on mm-hmm. the Corn Ferry. I used to have a very unconventional grip. I used to hit all my shots with a putting grip. So very, very weak left hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very okay. weak left hand. And you know, most people either interlocked with their, you know, pinky or have an overlap grip. So I used to do a reverse overlap, which is basically a putting grip, right? Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that my whole, you know, career as a golfer. I actually switched to that grip when I was a sophomore in college. So that was during COVID. And then I think because of having a left hand that is so weak, and sorry for all the details, right? I used to bow on top of my swing. And I just one time, you know, hit an 8-iron out of a very, very thick rough. I felt a little something in my wrist, and you know, I didn't really want to take a couple of months off and then my wrist heal and maybe have the same issue happen again. So with my coach Jerome, we decided to actually go back to a very conventional grip, which is just an overlap grip. And now my grip is way more neutral. I actually feel like I swing the club better. I actually hit the ball better. But, you know, right when you change, all your shot dispersion gets different. Instead of always missing right like I used to, I started missing left. And then you start bringing both misses. And then slowly you start losing a little confidence, you know. And the courses on the PGA Tour are a little more demanding. And when you start hitting both ways, it just gets a little trickier. And, you know, I mean, the only thing that can heal a change is time, right? So the last few months, I've been feeling way more comfortable with the change. I feel like I own my golf swing again, and I'm able to kind of play the way I want to, and results have slowly been getting better, which is exciting for the future.
Yeah, I mean, definitely don't apologize for giving too many details. we are golf geeks, and we love to get into those, so no worries there. And you mentioned already that your results are getting better. We saw the eighth place as well on the DP World Tour. But this year, you're not just playing the DP World Tour, you're kind of splitting your time a little bit. How are you planning on doing that? What tours will you be playing? Do you have some sight on that already?
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of last year, finishing 139 on the FedEx Cup brought a lot of uncertainties on, you know, what tournaments I was going to play in 2025. So I decided to actually go to Europe, to the Middle East, to play a few events on the DP World Tour, just because my coach Jerome Tennis lives in Abu Dhabi now. So it was just good to go out there, see him, get some good work done, and then hopefully play a few DP World Tour events. At first, I thought I was going to get in the field of the Dubai Classic, which is a really big tournament. And if you do well there, you can rack up a lot of points for the race to Dubai. And unfortunately, I was, I think, third alternate, so I didn't get in that one. But I still decided to play the next three DP events in case I got a win, which would, you know, help me get in that top maybe 25 on the race to Dubai and get in those Rolex Series events, which can, you know, probably help you get your PGA Tour card at the end of the year. Now that I wasn't, you know, able to get a win on the DP World Tour events that I played, I'm actually back now in the States, and I've decided to mostly focus on the Corn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour because I will have a couple starts on the PGA Tour till the end of the year. And I believe that's the easiest way for me to get back to the PGA Tour, especially because I've done it 2 years ago on the Corn Ferry Tour.
I think everyone knows you can do it in a couple of weeks, probably. Let's talk about your time in college, because you attended Illinois. Most Belgians know Illinois as the school where Thomas Dietrich and Thomas Peters went. I want to talk about head coach Mike Small. He's a big name in golf, probably not that well known in Belgium, though. I want to know, like, how has his coaching influenced your game? So those years at Illinois, how has that influenced your game?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. I think the first part, it's, you know, you just learn how to be competitive, you know, no matter how your game feels. You know, sometimes as a golfer, you get confident when you play well, you know, but you just, no matter how you play, no matter how you swing the club, especially when you play college tournament and you play not only for yourself, but for your team, you can't give up, right? So you have to like play as hard as you can. And sometimes maybe a 2-3 over, you know, can help the team, especially if someone else is struggling as well, right? So I think that was one of the main things that I had to maybe relearn in a way, just to never give up and you know, fight for your brothers. And because at the end of the day, maybe one shot can be the difference between finishing first and second as a team. And sometime on the course, like young golfers are already mature, they're four or five over, they think it's, you know, it doesn't matter anymore what they do. But you never know, you know, someone can finish birdie, birdie, eagle. Someone else can finish bogey, bogey, double. So it can go really quick both ways. And I think it was something that I had to learn from him. And then secondly, I'd say just how to play the game of golf the right way. You know, sometimes young golfers like to be very aggressive. Let's say they make a couple big bogeys early in the round. They think like they have to get it back quick. Aim at the pins, and sometimes it can go the other way, right? You can start making more bogeys, more doubles, and actually turn an average round into a bad one. So just learning, you know, the concept of being on the strong side of the hole, on, you know, pin positions that are difficult, because sometimes missing on the wrong side, you know, because of the wind or because of how firm the green are, can be very penalizing. And that's something that, you know, I had to learn from Coach Moll, just to be efficient on the golf course, you know, that you don't want
to
be...
you have to...
No, go for it.
No, I was going to like ask, because you gave us quite a lot of good nuggets there of information. But at the same time, I'm also thinking you were already a really successful amateur in Belgium. You had won quite a lot. You were on top of your game, I think, you know, for the Belgian part of it. But did you feel like you had to change a lot of that, or did you already have like a good feel of where you wanted to go, and was it Mike that kind of pushed you to take the next step in that?
I was a really good junior golfer heading to college. I think that, you know, kind of gave me a lot of confidence. But what's great about college and playing for Coach Moll, it doesn't really matter who you are and how good you are. At the end of the day, it's just the little, you know, the score that you shoot. And something that he always told us is that I find it funny now, but you're only as good as your last round, you know?
All right.
Because, you know, some people, they think, you know, they're so good, they can walk around people and, you know, feel like they're superior. But at the end of the day, I mean, golf is a tough sport, and, you know, you have ups and downs, and you never know. I think it's just hard work, and, you know, if you put the hard work in, it's going to pay off at some point. It might be, you know, a couple of weeks for someone, could be a couple of years for someone else. But yeah, just, you know, I think just his understanding of competition and playing the game of golf the right way really helped me to just get to another level and find some consistency in my game. And yeah, that's what you can see with Scottie Scheffler. I mean, you know, obviously he's a great ball striker, but somehow he's always on the right side of the hole. I mean, on the correct side of the hole.
Yeah, and mentally also really strong, right? That's how we see it, what sets him apart compared to most other players.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the mental, it's just, I feel like one of my strengths, and especially in college, it doesn't have to look pretty all the time, you know? I feel like I was really efficient to shoot a good score with what I had that day. You know, and I've played with guys, I'd be like, man, I can't believe you shot 2-under today. It looked like you could have shot 6-7 over, right? But you just find a way to get it done. And I think that's why I like to play in tough conditions, in windy conditions, because I know it's going to be tough for everyone, you know? Missing greens, everyone's going to be missing greens. So it all comes down to just fighting for pars and making birdies when you can. And after four rounds, you know, I feel like that's how I can pick up a couple of shots on some other guys that might be hitting the ball better than I do that week.
Yeah, I love that you're talking about the mentality of it, because I think that's also what sets you guys as pros so far apart from us as amateurs. It's always a mental struggle, I think, on the course. And I was also wondering, like, in general, if I say, like, day in your life, how do you step away from the golf course? What do you do in between rounds, or when you're not playing golf? How do you get your mind off things?
Yeah, I mean, it's always really nice when I'm back in Jacksonville and have 2 weeks off, because sometimes 1 week off is just not long enough, because you put the clubs down for 2 days, but then you feel like you have to get back right into it and go practice. But yeah, I mean, it's always nice just to be back and just, you know, kind of go back in the gym, go see your physio, you know, read a book, watch some TV, go hang out with some friends. And what's great about Jacksonville, it's such a big golf community. So I have so many friends that are also professional golfers. And it's just nice to sometimes just, you know, go do something else, whether it's playing pickleball, which is a mini tennis version that is really popular in Florida. Yeah. But just little things like that to just kind of, you know, get your mind off golf and just have a good time.
Can you not be competitive, in pickleball, or is it always competitive?
Nah,
as well?
We're always competitive, you know, but that's what's fun. That's what's fun about it. I'm not competitive, it's just when I'm, you know, on my couch, just reading a book or just watching some TV, you know.
Okay, fair.
You mentioned talking about practice. So everyone is always working on something. So at the moment, Adrian, what are you working on?
So at the moment, I'd say a lot of my putting, even though it's been good, you know, but just getting better at reading putts, just reading lines. Not so much, you know, starting the ball online or just working on my stroke. It just kind of getting better at just, you know, seeing putt goes in and how much does it break, and aim point kind of helps doing that as well. And then in my game, and it might sound a little technical, but just how my right arm works in my downswing, just to make sure that I don't come too much over the top, which leads to a shot club face and miss, have a miss to the left.
And what's the tip for that? I'm asking for myself.
The tip, I mean, I don't know. You know, when people talk about shallowing the club, you know, a lot of people try to shallow and kind of open their chest a little too much in the start of the downswing. I just like to feel like my elbow is actually kind of tucking in, and then that right arm's actually extending to put pressure down on the ball.
Yeah, of course. And you keep the compression.
Yeah, so I just tuck it in a little bit and then extend that right arm to put the pressure, and then you have to rotate all together, right? So it's not an easy move, but the more you do it, it just gets a little more natural.
All right, cool. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, maybe, because you have a tee time in 12 minutes, right, Adrien?
Yes, that sounds about right.
Do you still need to warm up, or are you good?
I mean, I could hit a few balls, but that's okay. I've played many rounds without hitting any balls, so I'm used to it.
We have two more questions lined up. Maybe the classic question: what's your favorite tour? Is it LIV? Is it PGA? Or maybe even TGL?
I mean, definitely not TGL, because I haven't been watching it much, even though it does seem like a fun thing to do. But then I'd say PGA Tour. I have nothing against LIV. It's just like growing up, you know, I've always enjoyed watching players win PGA Tours, and that's something that I want to do one day. And seeing Dietrich doing it 2 weeks ago was really cool as a Belgian golfer. Does make it a little harder for me. He does make it a little harder for me now to break a record in Belgium. So now I'll probably have to go for a major.
We said on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, yeah, you're going to be the first Belgian major winner, Adrien. So good.
No, we'll pressure, see, but yeah. That's a goal now. Yeah.
Any partners you want to thank, people who make your golf professional career possible?
Yes. I mean, since we're, you know, connected to Belgium on this podcast, I'd definitely like to thank De Groof Petercam for the great partnership that I have with them, as well as Hoya Waterloo Golf Club for supporting me over the last 2 years. It is great to have some connection with Belgium, especially when I'm here in the United States playing for my living.
All right, perfect. Well, I think, Adrien, we are kind of through with the time. For
yep.
you, that
well,
way
thank
the,
you guys.
You can go play. But thanks so much for coming on.
Just
it's been,
promise
it's been
us after a win, you'll come back, okay? Is that a promise?
All right, I will. Yeah.
All right, thank you, Adrien.
I'll try to say more words in Dutch.
Have a good day.
Win in Dutch.
All right.
There you go.
All right. We'll get some
water. Ah,
there you go.
All right. Love that.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye.